Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Aqron Group 2018 IFRS Results Conference Call. I will now hand you over to your host, Mr. Ilya Popov, Head of Investor Relations. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the results conference call. Today, we will have the following speakers: Dmitry Balandin, Vice President on Economics and Finance, Alexey Milenkov, Chief Financial Officer, and myself, Ilya Popov, Head of Investor Relations. I hope everyone have downloaded the results presentation from our website, investor sections. Let's start with the presentation, followed by Q&A. Page number four, please. Here we describe the key drivers that were on the market, on the fertilizer market in 2018. As a general impression, the fertilizer markets in all segments were quite good, and the prices of all key fertilizers, all key products actually went up. Demand also was a little bit up. If you look into each particular segment, there was a little bit different factors. For example, for nitrogen fertilizers, the increase in prices were supported by cost side. We saw a decrease in supply from China. China still has high production cost, but without Chinese volumes, global urea market is not balanced. That's why China still need to be presented on the market with its volumes, and that's why prices sometime, at least at seasonal period, at high season period, must justify Chinese production cost. That definitely support the prices. For phosphate fertilizers like MAP or DAP, the support for prices came also from the cost side, mainly because of the higher prices for ammonia and sulfur, as these two products are components of the DAP and MAP production. Of course, the high ammonia and sulfur, it immediately affect the production cost of non-integrated producers, particularly in India. Non-integrated producers takes the largest part of the global DAP production. While for potash market, for potash segment, the year was really strong, probably the strongest comparing to others. Here we saw the great contracts for India and China, long-term contracts that the prices was set up $50, $60 comparing to previous years. The spot market was even stronger. It was driven by very good demand in India and China and Brazil. Of course, it also was supported by discipline of the key producers in the potash market. On the right-hand side of slide four, you can see the dynamics chart with the dynamics of the key prices in fertilizer world. As for NPK fertilizers, they react as a basket, so they usually tend following the key indicators. This year it was up. Pretty good year in terms of the market. And I will now pass the word to Alexey Milenkov, and he will describe the company-specific items.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. My name is Alexey Milenkov. I work as a finance director for the company for quite a number of years. And welcome to our 2018 financial results conference. And my task would be to describe certain facts and figures from our balance sheet and profit and loss statement. And I think everything was linked last year towards our expansion program, towards smaller scale but very focused investments that we've been doing. And we've been trying to identify certain brownfield expansions. So we spent around $232 million U.S. dollars on capex last year. And that resulted in the launch of numerous facilities for us, mainly brownfield expansions. We improved our production of urea ammonium nitrate, ulea, and NPK by amounts of 200,000, 50,000, and 50,000 metric tons, respectively. We also commissioned the new urea unit, which happened on time. In late November last year. We also set up a railway link between our production facility in Kola Peninsula. So our Oleniy Ruchey mine is now connected to main railroad system of Russia. So, and right now we're basically transshipping our product from our phosphate mine towards our facilities via rail and without any other means of transportation. We also entered an active stage of development for our Talitsky project, the Talitsky Potash project. And right now we are in the phase of shaft sinking. And I think that's our main milestone for time being to continue this. Also, we set up two companies to help us with the distribution in a very fast-growing Latin American market. So we set up two companies, one in Brazil and another one in Argentina. And you also need to take into account the fact that we also have an office operating in France, which was opened very late 2017. And I think these offices and these close tighter links towards end markets would help us with the company's economics and obviously with our revenue streams. Commercial output production was up again as in many years before by a relatively small amount, but obviously it was a healthy 2.5% increase on year-on-year basis. And as a bottom line of our developments in the last year, obviously was a solid dividend stream towards our stakeholders. And again, for the third year in a row, we are fulfilling our guidances on dividend flow towards our shareholders. That was all on page 5, and going further to slide 6 of our presentation, some key financial figures taken from straight from our financial statements, from our financial statements. You can see some positive changes in revenue and EBITDA figure as well as EBITDA margin. And if you see on dollar part of our financial metrics, so you would notice a slight reduction in net debt to EBITDA ratio, and obviously you will see a significant improvement in free cash flow figure. Page 7 of our presentation will give you some ideas and some details about our quarterly performance, and I think overall it was very positive from on quarter-by-quarter basis. And you will see there is a gradual improvement in on almost every aspect. You will see a revenue increasing on a quarter-by-quarter basis. You will see EBITDA growing. And overall the prices for our products were up by the year end, and obviously ruble dynamics compared with the other hard currencies such as US dollar obviously was helping us quite a bit. On page 8 of our presentation, a few things to mention. And obviously, revenue figure was up in ruble terms. It was more than 108 million rubles. And obviously, that was a result. While our sales were relatively flat on year-on-year basis, so you will see that obviously positive changes in sales prices, as well as positive changes for us in FX rates obviously did help a lot for improved revenue figure. And some indicative prices are also shown here on this page. In the right bottom corner, you would see how the prices for major products were developing when we compare that with 2017. Also some facts and figures here on the slide about the performance of our individual production sites. So Akron was up in terms of production, and phosphate mine was also up with respect of production of apatite concentrate. And the Dergobush was slightly less in its production figures in last year. Going further, I will pass the floor and right to speak back to Ilya. We'll give you a little bit more insights on our revenue breakdowns and some other dynamics.
Thank you, Alexey. Slide number 9, please. So here we see a revenue breakdown by products. And as it always was, our key products is NPK, the complex fertilizers. Today it takes around 42% in our revenue. It's in recent years it's went down a little bit as far as we were focused on expanding of nitrogen production recently. But still, I mean, the structure, revenue structure is quite well diversified. Is several products, and we will have some flexibility among them. And also, you may remember that in 2016 we launched the big ammonia unit, and so we had some spare ammonia for sale, but now this number is diminishing and will be diminishing further because we process more and more ammonia into the final products. Also, we can see here at the bottom the premiums by certain products. What we can note here that like fourth quarter of 2018 was a little bit unstandard because of the very fast growth in urea price that was coupled by UAN price falling by the high demand in US. It's also jumped, but ammonium nitrate didn't react respectively in that quarter, so was a little bit lagging. But what we can say that we believe this is not sustainable, and I mean this margin and the prices itself will stabilize, and actually it is already happening in first quarter. Page 10 shows the revenue breakdown by markets. You can see that the diversification is pretty well again by markets. And we had a sales into 67 countries last year. Russia is the top market. Brazil is number two. And Brazil has good potential to grow further. And Latin American countries as well. The rest of Latin American countries as well. And, you know, when we enter the market that we think is has a good prospect, we quite successfully compete with with the peers. And usually if we go inside the market, we try to take leading position like number one or number two. Page number 11, it's about costs. Here's everything was more or less quite stable. There was no some specific things to mention. Probably only we can say that due to the high potash prices, as far as we purchase potash right now to produce NPK, so the potash share in our costs increased. Also, depreciation and amortization component has increased, but this is like non-cash, and this is due to the recent ramp-up and launch of the several facilities. So if you take only cash cost, it's, I mean, it grew less than 3% only in ruble terms. This page 12 shows EBITDA bridge from last year to the recent year. As Alexey already mentioned, so it easily can be traced that two components give the most effect, most contribution to the EBITDA growth. There was global price growth plus ruble depreciation. And of course it was adjusted partly by growth in costs, including SG&A costs and transportation costs that was up significantly. The growth in transportation costs mainly linked with the change of the sales structure, coupled with the increase in the freight tariff and rail tariff indexations. If you look to the items below EBITDA, on the chart on the right hand side, we can probably note here only one thing, which is net FX loss. Of course, you know that ruble devaluation happened last year, and this number depends on the ruble, use the ruble rate by the end of the year. So by the end of the 2017, the ruble rate was 57.6, while at the end of the 2018, this number was like 12 rubles higher, 69.5. So that reflected in as a loss. I mean, this change gives a revaluation of the liabilities, dollar-based liabilities, and that gives a negative effect into the profit. Page 13 shows the contribution of the EBITDA by individual companies. Of course, Novgorod Akron is the key facility, the biggest one, the biggest contribution to EBITDA. And the margin, you can see on the right-hand side, the margin was pretty healthy. So now probably I pass the word to Dmitry Balandin.
Thank you so much, Ilya. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Couple of words on the several slides. First of all, on the CAPEX. As you can see, we increased our CAPEX spendings by almost 30%, which is a very convenient level for us, and we are flexible in terms of amounts to be spent on our development program, and we're always flexible to adjust it depending on the market conditions. So last year the market was quite good, and we decided to slightly intensify our CAPEX expenditures. Also, just wanted to note about the number for the next year, for this year, for 2019. We consider the capex, the amount about 300 million, which is also quite a convenient level, and we understand that we always can adjust it. So, that, as I said, the level between 250 to 300 is quite convenient level in terms of capex. If we go to the next slide, which is number 15, we can see quite balanced spending of our operating cash flow divided between dividends and capex. If we go to the next slide, number 16, that basically reflects our debt position, which is in terms of net debt to EBITDA in dollar equivalent improved compared to the financials of 2017. And also our work with international and Russian banks last year helped us to improve the average interest rate in 2018. So I will pass word back to Ilya.
Okay. So slide number 17 shows our expectation for 2019 regarding the fertilizer market. Generally, the industry experts expect that the consumption growth in 2019 will be even stronger than was in 2018. We believe this opinion. Of course, the fertilizer industry overall is very stable, so this growth is not very rapid. It's like between 1 and 2% almost every year. But still, it grows, and it means that it will accommodate more space for our product, and we will be able to sell successfully the new production, new volumes that we will produce. In the beginning of this year, of 2019, we saw quite a significant decline in urea price, for example, following very rapid increase in fourth quarter in the end of the last year. So it's quite volatile, but I think it was more or less predictable. And one more factor that that made some kind of trigger for that was decrease in soft commodities prices. But nowadays it's already recovering, and we expect the urea price also to be to recover shortly. And in the second half of the year, we can expect significantly better markets than right now. Because again, the factors that I mentioned in the beginning, the high cost of production of Chinese companies and of other producers that consume gas in high cost regions, where the gas linked to oil, their production cost will stay at high level. So as far as we come to high season, the prices shall rebound to the closer to the levels of the production costs of the marginal producers like China. For phosphate fertilizers, we think the attention of the market will be linked to the ramp up of the Moroccan and Saudi Arabian producers. They have really big capacities coming on the market. But at the same time, on the cost, on the production cost side, there is no improvement on in terms of being non-integrated producers. So that's why we think there is like shall not be the any downturn. Maybe only like seasonal, because key season will start in April. So that's why it's in the first quarter this phosphate fertilizers was also a little bit weak. In terms of potash, usually this market depends a lot on producer's discipline, and it's still significant. Of course, we see some new volumes coming into the market, but so far they're not affecting the global market significantly. We'll see how it will go, but again, there seems that this year market can be quite stable. I will pass the word to Alexey Milenkov for the final remarks.
Well, yeah, thank you again. And well, just closing the presentation part of our call. Few things that you need may expect in this year, in 2019. So we are in the process, and we are completing three major brownfield projects, and you would probably see this year a completion of two nitric acid units, which would result in Novgorod, which would result in additional basically production for ammonium nitrate and NPK. We also found viable to expand our ammonic facility in Dragobuzh. So, and this again would be launched this year. And we are planning to complete construction of granulation unit for our urea production in Novgorod, which will assist us in touching upon certain product markets. Well, we will continue to develop underground mine in our phosphate mine in Olenyi Ruchei, and also we'll continue to shaft sink our at Talitsky project, at our Talitsky potash project. Obviously, we none of our future plans for capex development are fixed, so we remain quite flexible in terms of revisiting our capex expansions and our development program. And certain projects may come in or come out, so it will all depend on our financial performance, on our profitability, and also on leverage factors. We'll keep an eye on our balance sheet ratios, and we'll keep continue to keep our balance sheet strong, no matter what. And another point worth mentioning is dividend stream, and again we just announced a new dividend for prior years, and it would be 130 rubles per share. That is that's it for the presentation part, and we would be ready to take questions and to answer them. Operator, thank you.
Thank you. We will now start our question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question from Nikolai Sosnovsky, Prosperity. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks a lot for the presentation. I've got a couple of questions. First is in your cost of production. Basically, well done on 2018 job keeping costs in check. But the question is, what are your experiences right now in 2018 after we have first quarter 2018? Are you experiencing any particular cost pressures on any of your major cost items?
Thank you for the question. Actually, not. So the cost is quite stable, and seems that nothing so far harms that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. The second question, I think I've seen somewhere the announcement on potential UN ban in European Union. So what are the risks for Akron? Are you planning to redistribute volumes into different regions or different products potentially to mitigate this lost volumes if it happens?
This decision is not came into the full force yet, so we would refrain from commenting this particular issue right now. But speaking in general, we have more or less flexible production chain, so we and as you saw, we have a quite well diversified structure for the sales market. So we definitely, in situations similar to that, we foresee them, and we make some measures to protect ourselves from that kind of, from any like significant consequences. So yes, the redistribution and the adjusting the production lines, say, is the general solution for such kind of events.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And the third question is on ammonium nitrate market. Last year, as you show on slide number 8, UAN and urea all experienced quite good double-digit growth year-over-year, kind of 15 and more than 20%, but ammonium nitrate was rather weak, you know, flattish or down 3%. What was the particular reason for this underperformance, and do you expect the normal premiums to be restored and ammonium nitrate by virtue of ammonium nitrate price going up, not urea going down?
It was more like seasonal, not seasonal, but let's say influenced by CIS and Ukraine in particular, the developments in that country, so that they're limiting the import. So that's why we see some kind of temporary pressure for the volumes we saw last year. But it will be, all these excessive volumes that seemed excessive last year, they will be accommodated this year into the different markets.
Mm-hmm. And speaking just of volumes, my very last question. It seems like you had few percentage growth of production last year, like 3%, but sales remained flat. Should we expect these sales volumes, additional ones, to come on top of 2019 sales from inventories formed last year?
Generally yes, but will depend on the market overall during the year, because still we will see more production in 2019, and at the same time we will see more expansion into the end markets in Latin America, for example. So we'll see how much inventories will be on the end of the 2019, but generally, yes, this is inventories that we already injected into the system, and they will be sold.
And so in first quarter 2019, that is kind of past already almost, we can see some positive differences in sales and production already.
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
In first quarter 2019, have you sold more than produced, kind of drawing down these inventories from 2018?
First quarter haven't finished yet, and the numbers are not consolidated yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot for your answers.
Thank you. Our next question from Alexander Prutkin with the Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations with impressive results. So my first question is, given that you have increased your CapEx projection for this year, do you expect any negative effect on dividends for 2019 and ongoing?
Well, thank you for your question. I think it's a reasonable one, but I think again I try to stress this is Alexey Milenkov speaking. I try to stress that we will do our everything we can and we'll do our best basically to keep our dividend stream intact. So I don't think we would have any negative effects on dividend streams this year. Again, we will keep an eye on our CapEx program, on budget versus actuals, just like to make sure that we are not, we don't have any, we shouldn't have any budget overruns. So should remain, our financial model this year should remain strong enough and to ensure the same level of dividend flows.
Okay, thank you.
Guidance remains in force.
Okay, yeah, maybe do you expect any increase in net debt to EBITDA ratio for this year from 2.9 points at the moment?
That's Dmitry Balandin speaking. Basically, we are quite comfortable and to keep the level of 2. So, and as we showed it in our annual results for 2018, it was below 2. It was 1.8. Mm-hmm. And basically, our target is to go down with our leverage ratio.
Okay, great. This is clear. Thank you. So, if I may, my next question is about Chinese urea exports. So last year it was reduced by almost a half, and in the fourth quarter in the first quarter we see some sharp increase in Chinese exports. Like, what is your expectation on the full year 2019? Maybe some rough numbers.
It's Ilya Vakov speaking. So basically the statistics that you see may not be very relevant. We think, you have statistics only for January probably right now. And mm-hmm. We think that the Chinese origin export shall be around the same level that was last year, so for urea, like about 2.5 million something, maybe a bit more, but not significantly, definitely. And the statistics number can be inflated with some re-export that we know happening in China right now.
Okay, I get it. So just to clarify, do you think that current, like, recent negative trend in urea prices was more driven by seasonality than by overall increase in exports. Is it correct?
Yeah, seasonality. When the season, this time urea is not the best season, and the soft commodities prices dropped. So the countries who are trading versus commodities, they also put the pressure for the prices.
Okay, I get it.
It was a very strong sales in the fourth quarter of urea, so it was like a little bit oversupplied. So that's why we see negative reaction in Q1.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And my last question might be a little bit tricky. So if we're looking on cost of sales for the third quarter 18 and fourth quarter 18, excluding D&A, so despite higher volumes, we see some 8% reduction in the cost of sales in the fourth quarter compared to third quarter. Can you maybe just shed some light on what was like the main reason in the reduction of cost of sales? Would be great.
Here is the reason for that is actually the more massive inventory build-up and the shift in the inventory mix,
uh-huh.
and plus the cost of these inventories went up because of the market price went up. So it's linked with the distribution, and the sales of some products in the fourth quarter was slower than expected.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you very much. So that's it from me. Thank you once again.
Our next question from Denis Vortis, Bank Rossi. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. My question is regarding the recent government initiatives regarding the discount for domestic farmers to export prices. So what's the status now? What would you expect, which measures could be expected from the government on that side, and what could be an impact on your sales?
Well, I don't think we're in a position to comment this way. I mean,
yep.
What decisions made with the government is government decision, but we are in a close contact and work on all levels, and it's mean from Torq with FAS and working fully in line with them.
Okay. Maybe the old good question regarding your stake in Azoty Group, in Polish fertilizer producer. So what's the status now? What's your strategy going forward? Would you keep it, keep the stake, or do you expect some maybe cooperation with that site?
We still have a hold strategy for this stake.
Okay, that's clear. And probably the last one, what's the current estimate of EBITDA sensitivity to FX change? Let's say change of FX rate for 1 ruble, how much would it impact on EBITDA if you... Such a quick estimate would be great.
We have it in our regular investor presentation on the website, and it will be about $12 million per change in 1 ruble on an annual basis.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have follow-up questions from Denis Vorchek. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, please, if I may, one more question regarding the Talitsky project. So earlier you communicated the total capex about $1.5 billion, if I'm not mistaken, to get 2 million tons of capacity. Could you update on this? So when would you expect to start ore extraction, and what's total total design capacity and total capex and time frame for this, if would be appreciated.
Basically, there is no any significant changes, and all the previous information that published in our materials is actually valid. And, it's pretty the same.
Okay, and they have estimated what's IRR of the project, let's say, given current potash price level?
It goes above our hurdle rate, and of course, depend on your projections, not only on the potash price, but also on inflation and exchange rate. But at our expectation, we see the option for that IRR to be higher than our hurdle rate. So the project looks good.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no other question at this moment. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
See you next year.
See you next year. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participating. You may now disconnect.